your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18. And I normally never read this much, but for the sake of the story, if you'll bear with me, I'm going to do a little reading here. 1 Kings 18 and verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood. Put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And let the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it. They called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or a peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awakened." They cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, do this second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Would you lift your hands all over the house and ask God to help us preach tonight? Heavenly Father, we appreciate you for this opportunity to preach to your good people, Lord. And we're pleading for your anointing and your grace and your help. Lord God, that you would touch every heart of the young people that's represented here. God, give us clarity of thought, of speech. God, more than anything, meet us on this altar, I pray, and change our lives. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been in a service where the preacher, the evangelist, is preaching, and he gets down on some things, and he begins to preach, and maybe you or somebody near you, or there's always that group that's got something cynical to say. They make a statement and they say, that preacher's lost his mind. He thinks I'm going to do that. That's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on that preacher's lost his mind. That preacher has lost his mind. To really understand the severity of this text, you got to go back to chapter number 17. As Elijah confronts Ahab, he pronounces judgment against him and against the land of Israel for their wickedness, their idolatry, their Baal worship. And he tells him, he said, "There will not be rain but these years according to my word." And then Elijah leaves and Israel's left to deal with the ruin of famine, of drought, of plague, of severe wrath of God. And where we pick up in this story, we see Elijah has come back some 3.5 years later. And notice Ahab, it's amazing to me, Ahab comes and he said, "Are you him that troubleth Israel? Are you the one that's causing all this trouble?" And Elijah says, "No, this was your doings and your father's doings. I'm the only one here that can help the situation." And just to throw this in, it's amazing, the people that cause the most trouble normally blame the people that's trying to help. But right here in chapter 18, we get down the story where Elijah calls the showdown on Carmel. He says, "You gather all of your prophets together, and it's just me." And really, when you look at it, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves, Ahab, the whole host. Elijah was probably at least outnumbered close to 1,000 to 1, if not more. And we get to the showdown, and chapter number 18 and verse 24 is where I want to look at. And if you really didn't know the whole text here, if you just read this one verse and you understand what's been going on, you would really, this is where you could question the sanity of the man of God. And stay with me, I'm going to go somewhere with that. But if you didn't know the whole story, you could look at it, because Elijah says in verse number 24, "And let the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." Do you remember a few years ago when Alabama and Georgia, and I believe it's the Florida Panhandle, when we went through a drought and our states were battling for water, and our governor and you all's governor was battling back and forth, and I don't know how it was here, but we went several months without significant rainfall. And because of that, Brother Dean, people couldn't water their yards. They couldn't wash their cars at but a certain time. And they, by any means, they couldn't get out and just burn freely out in the middle of nowhere, because there wasn't enough water supply to help that and to sustain that. And we see what happened because of that drought, that states begin to argue. And that was severe, but it only lasted a few months. But I want you to got to realize, to understand the severity of what Elijah's saying. These people have been without rain for 3.5 years. There hasn't been a drop of rain. There hasn't been a bit of dew that come up from the earth at all. And here the man of God comes back, and they're all blaming him anyway. And now he's standing on Mount Carmel. And as he comes into the scene, you'll see that he finds Obadiah. And Obadiah and Ahab have been out searching the land for any remaining water that's left. But Elijah comes on Mount Carmel, and he calls for all the people. And he says, "Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God." No doubt the people automatically begin to look at this man of God and say, "Elijah, have you lost your mind? Are you crazy, preacher? Don't you understand that if there's one spark that comes on top of this mountain, it will run freely and destroy the whole city? There's nothing we can do to put it out. Elijah, really, man, come on here. You want God to answer? Maybe you should ask him for rain, Elijah, but fire is the last thing that we need right now. There's no fire, there's no water, there's nothing they can do." And they realize that if it does come a fire, that it's going to come straight down the mountain, it's going to go into Samaria and Israel, and it's going to burn up the whole land. And if that's not bad enough, Obadiah's been out looking, they don't have enough water to put it out, Brother Dean. And that's amazing to me, is that no doubt they looked at this man and say, "Preacher, what are you trying to do to us? The preacher, you're just out to get us." Isn't that the mentality of a lot of people when the man of God gets up in camp meeting, begins to minister and preach? A lot of young people and a lot of elder people alike, they're looking at the preacher and saying, "Really, you want me to do that? You want me to live like that? You want me to act like that? Don't you realize that that's not what we're needing? You're just out to get us, preacher. Elijah, you're just trying to get us all killed. You don't want us to have any fun." That's what a lot of people say. But the man of God, if you'll read the beginning of this scripture text, Elijah has done heard from heaven, and he knows if he can get the fire of God to fall on the mountain, that everything will be all right. Because you see, right here, these people are thinking they need rain. But the man of God a lot of times has a different view of it than the people do. Because Elijah knew they needed fire. There's oftentimes the Bible represents the Spirit of God. There's times He's represented as rain. There's times He's represented as fire. But a lot of people, they want the fire, Brother Dean, they want the rain to come. They want the refreshing. They want the thing that causes growth. They want that refreshing to come. But very few people want the fire of God to fall, because fire in the Bible, it represents a purging. You remember when the Bible said that Christ would come, whose fan is in His hand, through He will purge. Fire, a lot of people want rain. They want the blessing. They want the refreshing. But Elijah knew if the rain of God fell on these people without the fire of God falling first, they would go right off the mountain, right back into idolatry. But the man of God knew that they needed the fire of God to fall first, because the people, the children of Israel, needed a purging. They had been engrossed in false doctrine and idol worship. And before the rain could fall, they needed a purging. Israel, they were notorious for wanting the Spirit of God. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain? They were notorious for wanting all of the exterior of looking like they had the power of God, but they really didn't want the genuine. You remember when Moses went on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments? It was the children of Israel that they fashioned a false god, and they begin to worship Baal, the idols of Baal. They begin to worship them. But the man of God calls out on the mountain for the fire of God to fall. I've seen a lot of young people come to camp meeting, and I don't want you to think for a minute I'm here because I'm for you. I'm young myself. But I've seen a lot of people come to youth camps and camp meetings and youth services, and they want the rain of God. They want to feel goosebumps, and they want to shout, and they want to dance, Brother Dean. But they don't want the fire of God to come and deal with the issues that's in their life. They'd rather just shout around them and dance over them and go back to their home church and act like everything's all right. But I come tonight to see if we could get the fire of God to fall in some young people's life, because we need something more than a little rain shower. We need the fire of God to fall and purge our hearts and get us where we can be ready to receive what God has for us. They're looking at Elijah now like, preacher, you've lost it. And it goes from bad to worse. Look at verse 33. Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Now, not only is Elijah trying to get them all killed, he's trying to get them to give up something that's precious to them. Right now, water is more precious than any natural resource in the whole kingdom of Israel. More than all the gold in the king's house, more than all the silver, more than anything, they would give it all up if they had four barrels of water to spare. You notice that Obadiah, they're looking for what little water's left. But Elijah says, fill four barrels with water. You've seen the pictures in the Middle East of the pots that they have on their head, that pot of water. This is the same pot right here. It's the same word that's used for that. They're still used today. In this day and hour we live in, they're still used. But Elijah says, fill four of them up with water and bring them to me. No doubt. Now this is really, and I'm going to get to where I want to preach at. But right here, they're probably really starting to question the sanity of this man of God. You want fire to fall? Now you want us to give up something that's close to our heart? Something that we'd be willing to give our life for? Something that we desire? They give it up, Brother Dean. They pour out four barrels of water, and Elijah says, do it again. And then he says, do it again. So by the time it's over, there's 12 barrels of water that's been poured out on the ground, and they didn't even have any water to begin with. And right here, they're looking at this man of God, and they're thinking, man, you have got to be out of, you're wanting us to give up this. Isn't that the way the Lord operates sometimes? Elijah wanted to see just how bad these people wanted God, just how bad they wanted rain. He was asking them to give up something in their life that was close to them, and they didn't want to do it. I wonder how many young people right here tonight has God been talking to your heart that if you really want me, if you really want the blessings of God, if you really want the Holy Ghost, I need you to deal with this. I need you to give this up. Well, I remember when God was dealing with me when I was a teenager about things in my life. I thought, God, there's no way I can do without that. There's no way I can give that up, Lord. But you see this man of God, and I want you to remember this as these men of God preach to you this week. I know both of these men of God, and chances are they'll preach some things this week that you'll have to pray about and you'll have to look into. But while you're doing it, remember, the man of God's not against you, and he hasn't lost his mind, and he's not out to get you, because Elijah knew if these people were willing to give up 12 barrels, they was ready to receive a downpour. He knew if they would give it up, they could have it all. And that's what God's talking to us here tonight, young people. If you're willing to deal with the issues in your life that God's talking to you about, you can have more of the blessings of God than you've ever experienced. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it won't come until you're willing to line up with the man of God. The preacher begins to preach, and he starts talking about things that young people they're clinging to, Brother Dean. And I come here this week with a burden on my heart, because we've got young people back at home, and I see things they're struggling with, and I see things God's talking to them about, and God's wanting to take it out of their life, and they're clinging and they're holding on to it, but they don't understand if they would let go of those little petty things, that there's so much more. And the preacher gets up and he starts preaching on modesty, and he starts preaching on clothing, and he starts preaching on the places of the world and the things of the world, and relationships and datings. Oh, I've been there. I was a teenager. I know exactly how we think. I know exactly how I used to think. No, that's just him. That's just a preacher. That's not the Bible. But I want to tell you something, young person. Listen to me tonight. I'm not very much older than you, but I am a little bit older, and I've learned a little bit in the last few years that the man of God had my best interest at heart, because if it wasn't for the man of God preaching the truth to me, I'd be backslid somewhere tonight away from God. But I had a pastor that was willing to say, hey, son, you're going to have to deal with this in your life. But I feel the Holy Ghost. I remember Brother Steve was my pastor for 8 or 9 years. And I'm going to share this and be a little transparent. It was 10 years ago, so I hope you'll have mercy on me and won't run me out. But I was with a group of young people. Brother Steve, you'll remember where I'm going with this. I was with a group of young people in a different place. Don't fall out with me. I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot, but I felt the call of God on my life to preach. Brother Steve had talked to me. God was helping me. But they said, hey, let's all go bowling. I was 3 hours away from home, and, you know, we're just rolling a ball down a wooden lane at Penn's. There's nothing. That's no big deal. So we went, Brother Dean. We went bowling. I got back. I went again. God dealt with my heart. I didn't tell Brother Steve, but another preacher from that area called my pastor, say, you need to talk to your preacher. He's down here at the bowling alley. And Brother Steve, one night after church, he said, we need to go out to eat. That wasn't uncommon, but it was uncommon for just me and him to go. So we went to Shoney's in Pratt. Well, I remember like it was yesterday. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. He set me down. He started talking to me, and he began to talk about the ministry and the preaching and the blessings of God and all of that, a good reputation, a good name. And he said, I heard this. And I said, yes, sir, it's true. And he began to talk to me, Brother Dean, and God had already dealt with my heart. I knew that. God had done talked to my heart. But see, I had a man of God saying, hey, you need to pour out this water. You need to let go of this thing in your life. And I did, Brother Dean. Thanks be to God. I've never been bowling since. I never went back to those places of the world because of that environment, because of that dim lighting and that loud music and that environment that there's no Christian young person has any business being in. And I thank God tonight that the man of God wasn't afraid to stand up and tell me the truth. I love that about Elijah. He was never afraid to tell the people the truth. And I'm glad for a man of God that was willing to tell me the truth, Brother Dean. It furthered me, it bettered me, and I want to tell you young people something this week. When the man of God's preaching, don't brush him off, don't push him aside, but take it to heart and say, would it better me, would it farther me, would I get closer to God? Because you see, these people were in desperate need of rain. If something didn't give for these people in the next few weeks and months to come, they was all going to be dead. And I want to tell you something. I don't know how it is in Georgia, but I know how it is in Alabama. There's some young people that I know that if they don't have a move of God in their life, they're not going to be among us much longer. They're not going to be around much longer. They're not bad young people. They're not rebels. They're not devils. But there's a pull going on from the world and the church and the God and the devil. And there's a struggle going on. And God's saying, deal with this. And the devil's saying, there's nothing wrong with it. And the preacher's preaching, there's a struggle going on. And these people had to have God's help. And I feel like I'm preaching to some young people. Some of you here, you're in desperate need of God's in moving in your life. You realize on a Monday night that you're struggling and you're battling and you're warring. You don't want to backslide. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to leave church, but there's a warfare and there's a struggle going on. I want to tell you, the preacher ain't crazy, and the church ain't crazy. They're trying to help you, and they're trying to salvage you. Some of you's got parents that's backslid. Some of you's got parents that are lost. They're not pushing you toward God. You got friends that's pulling you away from God. But the man of God's your very best friend, because he's trying to get you closer to God. Because he already knows. Elijah knew something they didn't know. He knew if they give up 12 barrels of water, they'd have more water than they knew what to do with. That's what the man of God knows tonight. That if you'll give it up, if you'll let go of the things you're holding to. Verse number 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of an abundance of rain. They dealt with the false prophets. They dealt with the compromise. They dealt with all of that. And then after the fire of God fell and weeded out all the wrong and weeded out everything else, then it was time for the rain to fall. I don't know about you, but I'd like to deal with all of that right here on the first youth service. I'd like the fire of God to fall and deal with all the issues in your life in the rest of the week. I wonder if we could get in the Holy Ghost and invoke the presence of God and get Him to come down in our midst. And baptize young people in the sweet Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, there's some things that young people's dealing with now. I wouldn't trade places with them for nothing in the world. But if you leave it unchecked, it's going to destroy you. If you don't line up that preacher, and there's, I mean, I know there's a multitude of things. I could stand up here and give you a list. But I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost can name them to you faster than I can. You get an altar of prayer and pray through till the fire of God falls in your life. You don't have to struggle from service to service. I've seen young people that's struggling with relationships that's not right. Seeing young people are struggling in all areas of their life. And it breaks my heart because I was right there. There's some I've talked to and I'm trying to tell them I was there just a few years ago. And if you'll just come this way, God will bless you. God will help you. That's what I want to preach to you tonight. The preacher hasn't lost his mind. The Holiness Church hadn't fell off the deep end somewhere. This is still lines up with God's Word. And if you're going to have the blessings of God, you're going to have to do it the Bible way. And if you're going to have God's anointing and God's Spirit in your life, you're going to have to line up with the man of God. That these men up here, I know several of them. And I've heard most of them preach. I ain't never heard them get out of the Bible. Some of you go to their churches. I know some of you from Brother Gentry's, different places. And I'll be honest with you. I was right in your shoes, and I'm closing. Brother Yomans, I don't know if y'all want to get a song, how you want to do it. But I remember 17, 18, 19. That was the hardest years of my life. I struggled. I pulled. I battled. I warred. Brother Steve can vouch for me. It was the hardest time of my life. Do you know what? I sat where some of you sat, and I heard the preachers preach, and I've said those same statements. That's not for me. That's not necessary. But the quicker I learned, Brother Dean, that they had my best interest at heart. They weren't trying to hurt me. They weren't trying to keep me from having fun. They was trying to get my soul to heaven. And they was trying to keep me out of hell. Keep me from marring my reputation. Keep me from destroying everything that was precious in my life. And I thank God, Sister Rochelle, that I did make some of the mistakes of youth, but I'm still here only by the grace of God, because I took heed, not because I was good, not just because I had a good pastor. But I took heed to what the man of God said. And by the grace of God, I want to tell you, young person, the quicker you learn that, the easier it's going to be on you. The quicker you just get in here and line up and do right, the struggle will be gone. It'll be so much easier to serve the Lord. I want us to stand tonight. Brother Yeomans said we had plenty of time. He wanted to give an altar call. As Sister Sarah begins to play, I've tried to preach in my heart tonight. Hey, this ain't crazy. I've seen people that left this, Brother Dean, and said it was crazy. Young people. I've seen their lives ruined. I've seen their reputations ruined. I've seen their future just thrown out the door. Young couples, I've seen their homes broken up. I've seen parents that said, holiness is not for me anymore. They took their kids out. Now their kids are rebels. I want to tell you, I believe I'll stick with the man of God. I believe I'll stay with holiness tonight. It may not always be the easiest thing to line up to at the beginning, but I promise you it's easier than what the world has for you. I promise you it's easier than the path that Satan has chosen for you. While she sings, while she plays, I want every young person in this house to start making your way to the front, all over the building. I want us to make it 100%, young people, and then us older ones, we're going to gather in around you. Hey, I don't feel like I just shot in the dark tonight. I believe God's talking to some young hearts. A lot of you's at that age where you got to make decisions about your future. Which way am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to live? I want to tell you, make it in the altar. Make it in the Holy Ghost. Make it with saints of God gathered around you. Church, I want us to gather in around these young people and pray with them and realize they're struggling with things that some of us may not know anything about. But their struggles are real. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, young people. Let God deal with your hearts tonight.